Welcome to From Campus to Cyber, the official podcast of the German University of Digital Science, hosted by Professor Dr. Mike Friedrichsen, co-founder of the German UDS. This is your digital gateway to the future of education. In a world where education and technology are merging, From Campus to Cyber sheds light on the dynamic field of digital science, opening the doors to a campus without boundaries. With every episode, we bring you to the latest developments, debates, and discoveries at the heart of digital transformation. Why From Campus to Cyber? Because the future of education is digital. Join Professor Dr. Mike Friedrichsen as he guides you through in-depth conversations that satisfy your curiosity and spark your engagement in the digital discourse. Whether you're a student, academic, expert, or digital enthusiast, this podcast offers something for everyone. Tune in at regular intervals as we explore the cutting-edge topics that shape our digital world. From Campus to Cyber is more than just a podcast. It's your window to a world without borders. Welcome to the intersection of knowledge, technology, and community. Let's dive in together.
Today, we are diving into the topics entrepreneurial ecosystem and digital entrepreneurship with a focus on digital transformation platform and digital skill with a very special guest, Dr. Moritz Steinhoff. Welcome, Moritz.
Hello, Mike.
Moritz is a co-founder and serves as managing director as HHL. What is the meaning of HHL?
Well, HHL is the abbreviation for Handelshochschule Leipzig back in the days, and now we the correct name is actually HHL Leipzig Graduate School of Management.
So it's a traditional university, I think.
Yeah, HHL has a long tradition. It has been founded by entrepreneurs themselves in 1898.
Oh, wow.
So 120, 130 years almost. And was the first German business school or first faculty also when it comes to economics.
So it's opposite to our German University of Digital Science, so it's interesting. Yeah. Yes, Moritz is a co-founder and serves as a management director at the HHL Digital Space with special focus on entrepreneurial economic systems, strategic management, and digital entrepreneurship, all the topics we will just discuss today. So again, welcome, Moritz. And before we delve into the topics, give us a brief overview about your professional career and the highlights.
Yes, so as you just pointed out, I'm responsible at HHL for all our entrepreneurship activities, meaning head of entrepreneur ecosystem is because we understand a university, especially the ones with a focus on management, and also with our footprint. I just mentioned we have been founded by entrepreneurs, is that our entrepreneurial DNA is somehow always present, right? And in the past, we never really fostered that as being special. However, it was it's worth to be mentioned that even though we are a very small university, more than 530 startups have been founded by our alumni. So maybe we come to that back to that later. I'm responsible for the ecosystem, meaning I'm managing our early stage incubator, which has a specific focus on early stage ideas that are incubated validated within special programs. Besides that, I'm a senior research fellow at HHL, so also research is still a topic on my desk all the time. Before HHL and before I started my dissertation also at HHL, I was working in consulting. I had a strong focus on also working on developing or helping projects to develop new platforms in the field of e-commerce. I was always responsible for looking at also economic or business model sides. And further has some background in information systems. So digitization has always been a topic, and also I've founded a small company, small startup with a friend of mine in the early stages when first iPads have been introduced, and we're figuring out how to do business there back in the days. And now today, I'm very happy to drive the whole HHL ecosystem further with the team that we have across several initiatives, and also happy to be here talking to you today.
Maurice, beside all the topics, what is interesting for me, if you just talk about consulting, very often there's a critical background that people say, you don't need any external consulting. So can you explain why should companies use external consultants?
To my view, it's often, or from my point of view, it's often the value that externals bring into companies with their external view and also experience in different topics. Of course, companies have strong traditions, have strong capabilities in several areas. But of course, as you might know, times are changing and often quite quickly. So established business models, for instance, may or may not work well or not so well, or may not continue to work well. And I think especially in that field, in terms of strategy, thinking about how to maybe adjust or align a company to new realities, there are some points where externals can actually bring some value into companies, and also partially solving critical problems. And I think therefore it's always a good point sometimes also for the management to just get an outside perspective on how industries might develop and figuring out how companies can actually adjust.
Okay, I understand. Yes, it's interesting. So if we just talk about one of your main competences, it means the entrepreneurial ecosystem. So can you explain what is an entrepreneurial ecosystem? So it's right there. And why it's important?
Well, from our perspective, I mean, you might know all the ecosystem research that has been done, or also cluster research that has been done. And usually what we understand, or our view on that, is that many aspects come together that, especially for entrepreneurship, help ideas to grow into companies. And then also helping startup companies or established companies in their life cycle. So from the idea until maybe company succession. And this is where we as business school, with the focus on entrepreneurship and our entrepreneurial DNA, look, let's say, maybe more holistically on that, and try to support entrepreneurs across all stages and across, or from all backgrounds, basically. And at HHL, we of course see in the beginning maybe the classroom as the point to discuss maybe next big things, new ideas, have some ideation formats then that follow. With the incubator, we installed something where, for instance, students, but also non-HHL entrepreneurs can actually join our programs because they are open to validate their ideas in a structured program, for instance, in 12 weeks. And then they have access to all what is needed actually to found a company, but also to grow it. We have not only an incubator, but also an accelerator, which helps companies to grow, startup companies to grow quickly, also there in structured programs. And then also we have an institute for company succession. And this is basically our understanding that a university has the opportunity to actually also orchestrate several instances you need to grow and to build and to grow companies, bringing together investors, founders, experts, industry experts, and basically also offering that openly as a seeding bed, maybe for new companies.
So can you explain as a use case how does it work? If there's, for example, a startup company, and what is the main point of this process? What are the milestones?
From our perspective, we start with ideas. Of course, this could be an individual idea, could be an idea of a group, usually very early stage, meaning the first 3 to 6 months within that life cycle. In our incubator, we have the structured incubation program, which actually picks up founders at their specific point and helps them in a structured way to, first of all, validate the concrete problem, maybe also the target group, so learning more about the potential market. And then in the second step, developing and validating the solution behind the idea, meaning this is the product solution fit, that is, so to say, the basis that we understand is necessary to actually build a product and then find a product market fit. This is in the life cycle of companies actually quite common, or startups, to look at these different check marks. I mean, no one can really say once you achieve it, but everybody knows you need it. And exactly this is where we are in the very early stages, helping to identify the most critical hypothesis, have structured methods, and offer coachings, sparings, mentorings for these founders actually to do that critical step that they need in the beginning, in the de-risking process, and then also to a certain degree follow the idea, maybe adapted one, develop a product, and then also to launch a company and go into that proof of concept stage. This is basically where our job, at least for the incubator, ends. But then, of course, I mentioned that many alumni in our network have founded. Also, many of our alumni are actively investing venture capital. And this is also where we bring together people. As you might know, some startups need some funds actually to found a company, pre-seed, seed funding, also several series of fundings that follow. And also, this is part of the ecosystems actually to bring these people together. This is why, for instance, we back in 2020 together with RWTH Aachen, which is a technical university in Germany, flagship university for engineering, we partnered up and built Stage 2. Stage 2 is a competition for university spin-offs, actually the largest one now in Europe, where all the important people and also cool startup ideas actually come together to present themselves and actually to secure some funds. And we are quite happy that we not only have an own ecosystem at HHL and only think in an hour walls internally, but also, of course, give something back to the whole and also give back and develop the German ecosystem in that, or also European ecosystem further in that sense.
So if we talk about digital competences and the new forms of entrepreneurship. So one keyword is digital entrepreneurship. What does it mean? What are the key elements of digital entrepreneurship?
Well, technology has, of course, many potentials and levers startup companies leverage, especially when we look at business models. I think if you compare maybe startups that have been founded 30 or 40 years ago to them which are founded these days, large components of their business model, I mean, the basic understanding of a business model and their components is reflected, for instance, in the business model canvas. Some people know about that. And if you look at these components and how they interact, of course, digital technologies help to actually create value for a potential customer, but also help to deliver this value to customers. You can think in transaction terms, cost structures, revenue streams, in which, of course, digital technologies have their benefit, or just enable it and also therefore give a startup idea the existence actually. And therefore, digital business models, of course, not only have digital products, but also, of course, everything related to digital processes and everything that is driven and enabled by technology actually.
Morris, we've learned a lot about strategic management in the past, and of course, it's an interesting question for me. How can we take conservative strategic management principles to this new world of digital entrepreneurship and digital business models?
Maybe I reflect back to what we do in our structured incubation program, because this is actually a little bit inspired by that approach, right? We say, okay, we somehow can have great ideas and also maybe all the technologies, but I mentioned already we need to validate a concrete problem and also build a solution based on that. And this, if we look at strategic management and the principles that are have been developed by research and also have been facilitated in many classrooms but also applied in practice, then of course a strategic view is also for instance a look on the market and to understand certain context factors, developments in the environment, but also of course in certain industries, especially looking also at certain players, understanding what they offer, what they do, and then also to understand where the potential shortcomings in their offerings and their products are, to better understand where there could be a potential gap in the market, right? So there are strong, practical techniques we can learn from strategic management scholars, not only looking at resources, but also on market conditions and so on, that we as startup entrepreneurs can use actually to have and work on a, competitive advantages potentially, if we want to use this word.
One point I think is important. That's the point that we have fast development of technology and of tools and so on. So if we start with the entrepreneurship or with a startup now, how do we just plan for a longer term? Is it possible? Are there some tools which might be helpful? Or is it necessary to change the strategic options to say, don't think over 2 or 4 years because it's not serious?
Mm-hmm. I think at the end of the day, it's a mixture of both. And the mental model that has to be there, in my point of view, is to combine these both worlds of pure strategic and maybe long-term planning, if you want that view, and then also, of course, the ability of companies to react to certain changes in the market. I mean, look at what the pandemic has driven into companies. Always was the discussion that digital transformation in companies is something that needs to be done somehow, and then you have an external shock. And then from one day to the other, tools such as Skype or Zoom in the days have been implemented overnight, if you want. And companies reacted well, others maybe took a month or a year longer to adapt. However, in my point of view, it's a mix of both. And if we look at tools you can use, for instance, also a concept that has partially been researched and developed at HHL is scenario planning. We have a specific center for that, cool, which actually offers interesting insight into how the world might look like, right? And it's maybe not to have the concrete plan and security how it will look like, but maybe to think more in potential ways it could look like, and to be prepared and to identify maybe the weaknesses or also the strengths a company in that sense could have to adopt to that, and how much risk evolves from being not so adoptable in the business model, in the existing business model, or to also understand where potential future potentials actually are to benefit from. And therefore I always like scenario planning ideas, because it really facilitates the understanding and then also encourages people to think of what could be, and to combine not only best and worst case scenarios, because this is the classical association with scenarios, but rather the combination of several factors could lead to completely different worlds, right? And I think this is a little bit a mix of rigor analysis, but also of creativity. If I look in the literature, especially in outlets of what we have published there at the Center of Scenario Planning, it's always interesting to look at the blind spots where people potentially agree on something or disagree on something, but not so much have different views. And exactly these blind spots are somehow interesting to look at, how certain factors can maybe evolve, develop, and how the combination of these factors actually work in critical uncertainties.
Maurice, what are some key facts for success in a digital business model?
I don't know whether there's a generic right answer to this. Of course, success factors, the biggest success factor is actually, for at least for me, to understand the right, understand and define the right problem and to understand the right customer. Because ultimately, of course, the value of a company is somehow built by the interaction with the customer, because you create value for someone, right? And I think this is a great starting point to understand where a digital business model with its products, maybe also with its processes, can add value to a customer so that it is somehow successful. And maybe also, this is what we have seen in the past, that with digital business models and the offerings that these new startups have created, they have somehow gained a competitive edge towards established companies, large companies, because they were flexible, more innovative. They adopted and understood the flow of the customer a little bit better, how the customer journey looked like, and where exactly, for instance, also with the use of all the mobile devices that we have around, can really have a different approach to whatever kind of task is at hand or whatever kind of problem is at hand that a certain customer faces. And I think this is the point of view that I would always like to facilitate, is to think from the customer's perspective more than from a technology perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, using technology is not a successful part. You need it for the success, but you always have, we just talked about that in one of the last episodes, that you need the educational system behind and that the people can use it and so on. So on the other side, we have for existing companies, one most important challenge is the digital transformation. And I know that you just work on a digital transformation platform. So can you just give us a short overview? What is it and how does it support business?
Yes, so the idea with Digital Space as being a digital transformation platform is also that new business models are not only created in startups, but also in established companies. And our view was that, okay, maybe it is a vital way for established companies to maybe create new business models or enhance the existing business models using digital technologies. And the platform idea was or is pointed more towards the aspect that, of course, also the collaboration between established companies and maybe startup companies is very critical, maybe also in the early stages. Yeah, if you think about the venture clienting concept, where a new startup creates, for instance, a B2B product or solution, of course, in the early days, it's quite hard for teams partially to get access to established companies and to test and develop their product. And here we see great potential for both worlds, that of course, on the one hand side, new startups have the room to explore and validate and construct their new product, and then also established companies, or for established companies to benefit from developing, co-developing that, maybe also co-venturing that, if that is possible. And on a platform, we just bring together the right people, and where we see great potential that because these people met maybe also by serendipity, it is value in itself, also in the ideation process, maybe in the process of realization or go-to-market strategies, for instance. And this is how we constructed this platform approach, actually.
So working at the university and thinking about the study programs on the skills of students, so what do you think are the main skills students need to be well prepared for digital transformation processes?
You can argue from various angles, and I think every university would argue for their best from their best perspective. If I speak for HHL, I believe one of the major aspects that we always look is entrepreneurial thinking and acting is the basic foundation, I guess, which we facilitate in almost all the classes, because of course you can have all the technologies, but if you don't have maybe the minds who can translate it into business models, this is maybe a problem then. This is also what we often see, that technology is partially looking for a problem oftentimes that can be solved. And the idea, and coming back to your question, for a digital skill or for that skill set, is to understand both worlds, I guess. Understanding technology and the potentials it has, but also understanding the economic foundations behind it, and maybe also the way on how to construct a business model in that sense using technology.
So if you just have a view on the international context, I think you have a lot of experiences here too. And what is the main difference in entrepreneurship between different countries? For example, if you just compare Germany to United States or other European countries.
If we look at the differences, I mean, many research has been done on this as well. Of course, we always come to the conclusion that it is a cultural difference, risk awareness, that is a main differentiator between maybe the German ecosystem, maybe also other, specifically the US ecosystem when it comes to startups. And also this risk awareness is partially reflected in venture capital investments. We see that in the statistics. I mean, right now, generally, or globally, on a fall, critical conditions for some startups to generate new rounds or find let's say follow-up investments. But I think the major difference is also the way on how the world could look like. Partially, I have the feeling that we in Germany are somehow self-constrained with the view on how the world could look like being enhanced by technology, for instance. And partially, if you look at startups that have been founded in the US, there is less of a boundary thinking, I guess. It's more like, okay, what's possible? Let's do it. Yeah. And we see that in many, many ideas that have been ultimately become very successful and multinational companies in that sense that have been just founded by the openness to technology and also by the openness of creating something new that in the existing system maybe does not really work, but is really, really open for a system in the new world, so to speak. And I think this is the major difference. The worldview is a difference. And also the way of, I think another constraint that we have might potentially, maybe also especially in Germany, is that of course we often are too perfectionism driven, yeah? That we always want to have the perfectionistic view on things, that always has to be 100% solution, and where we just spend a lot of time, I mean, applying Pareto principle here as well, is that oftentimes also maybe 50% is totally enough, but what counts is speed. And I think this is a major difference here as well.
What are the main challenges for entrepreneurs starting a new business?
You mean in Germany?
Yes. Let's talk about Germany. Maybe also about Dubai.
I mean, yeah, of course. The given context or the given conditions, I think it has already been improved over the past 10 years. But of course, in other countries, it might be easier and faster to just found a company. You don't necessarily have to have a physical document somewhere or notary signing physical documents that are being sending around, also especially when you raise your first investment rounds. So the complexity that is associated with the bureaucracy around the process of founding a company might be a challenge. A second challenge is to find maybe the right people to do it. Because of course, what we also observe is that talent is quite mobile these days. You mentioned already Dubai, we know many other, let's say, startup friendly countries, and we know that actually talent is not maybe attracted to rainy and cold weather in most of the year, but rather looking for nicer conditions. And I think also enabled by technology, we can actually benefit from that, and many talented entrepreneurs or minds do that and therefore also leave the country and found their company somewhere else. And I think this is where we should be aware of that of course that it is a competitive edge that we lose. Maybe a third challenge is partially venture capital, or was in the past. I mean, there has been a lot of funds that have been created and that are raised again and again, and that are actively investing in many teams We're working on more more ecosystem approaches across Germany. I think universities have understood that not only teaching and research is their main responsibility, but also the aspect of transfer enabling maybe also scientists, which have great ideas and great laboratories around where the potentials for new startup ideas, products are created. They just need to be leveraged in a way. And so from our perspective, oftentimes we see that also the collaboration between universities, but also specifically the focus on transfer is so important and could even be more and more and could be improved. I know that the government is facilitating new incentives also for universities to tap into that. Currently, a project is Startup Factories, which is luckily something where HHL also is creating the Startup Factory in Saxony, for instance, where we bring together more universities, try to facilitate new programs and find synergies between all the types of universities, different faculties that actually work together, but especially also think and act entrepreneurially within these universities. And then ultimately to create more ideas, more companies that come from that, that also have a competitive edge globally. And I mentioned stage two already. We really address and try to give early stage scientists and startup teams from university this stage that they need to get visibility. And this limited visibility sometimes can be a challenge.
Can you point out the typical three mistakes in the beginning of entrepreneurs? Can we just point out that?
Well, if I look at the cohorts that we had in our past 10 programs that we did in the past 4 years, then typically it's the first problem is that teams or founders are very, of course, convinced with the idea and have a concrete idea of a product that they have to or want to create, neglecting a little bit realities of customers and so on. So falling in love with the idea. And so we always say kill your darling is very, very important in the beginning. Work data-based, work hypothesis-based, also to get this early stage reality check in order, of course, maybe not to lose the vision, but to have it backed up by data and then also to de-risk a little bit earlier. So this is the first problem. Second problem is, of course, in my view, oftentimes a little bit could be the professionalism in which way they work. Of course, it's very creative, it's very open, very dynamic partially. Also, however, we often see that, okay, the systematic approach partially is what is missing. Good organization, good communication, so all the, let's say, good manners that you need, even though I know that not many want to hear that. But I strongly believe that this is also something where young teams and young talent can actually improve in the way they work, and thereby we also be more efficient in parts and could be even faster. And the third point is, maybe also the appreciation of the chaos of the journey that you jump in. I oftentimes see that there are nice stories that are told about entrepreneurs, right? And oftentimes it's a little bit the challenge that we, of course, tell more about the success stories than we tell about the failures, actually, and what it took, also on personal depth, maybe for some founders to be so successful. The hours that they spend on just the hard work that they do. And also, you're right now here in the same setting. I guess to start up a new digital university, especially in Germany, is a major challenge. And I can imagine how many different challenges you have to face. And that is maybe also what could be a challenge is that as a founder, they at the beginning maybe not know what they agree upon, and also the huge and variety of topics that they actually have to handle. I think a good quote that I heard recently was founding a company is jumping off a cliff and figuring out the airplane or building the airplane while falling. And partially, especially for early stage teams and also for non-experienced founders, this is maybe the thing where they even more could maybe learn from experienced founders.
Maurice, what does holistic learning management mean, and what is the meaning in the education of management?
You mean a holistic learning experience?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
Oh, good. This is the experience starts so. From a perspective of entrepreneurship is always, of course, also you don't only want to create new ideas and maybe write them on slide decks, but you really want to work on them, right? And really figure them out, test them as a laboratory setting. And I think this is what universities can even or have to give more room to, is really not to think about ideas, maybe also developments and everything universities are very strong in, also using a lot of research and making use of that, but it's also pretty much the way on how this actually can be carried out, can be applied in parts. Often we see, of course, very talented students not having any practical experience in any field. And I strongly believe that partially you have to just get hands on something to figure out how it really looks, feels like, and also that would help students to maybe figure out what their real passion is, what they are passionate about, what they want to work on later, what kind of roles they actually want to work in. And therefore, I think the combination of being in a classroom, being in a laboratory, but also being in the outside world just to gather some experiences in maybe different roles or in a startup setting is something where a learning experience is coming also from challenges, understanding the challenges, understanding what kind of tools there are, but then also learning and applying these tools and figuring out solutions to a given problem is what is of value.
So what is at least the benefit for the students, for their personal development?
I think looking and understanding where their current point of knowledge is, maybe of experience is, and then also after maybe 12 weeks, after 24 weeks, 6 months, to look back on their semester, trimester, whatever setting they study in, is to, okay, what have they know before, what have they challenged, and what are they now capable of? Mm-hmm. Looking more on a competence focus. Maybe also learning journeys actually build up on each other. For instance, you can do that with integrated case studies that actually focus on several topics where actually concepts and solutions and constraints are really much, pretty much interlinked, and where also several different faculties actually work on each other together, and where students actually learn, for instance, the holistic view you actually need to manage a company in all these aspects, or a project in these various actions, not only from ideation but also from integration, reality, and everything that is related to that. And I think this whole learning experience should reflect on this.
Maurice, now the challenge for you: can you give an entrepreneur an advice in one sentence for his start of his new business model?
Yes, I always believe in three aspects that young teams, young startups have as their competitive advantage is speed, creativity, and flexibility. I think these three pillars, if you want to call them pillars, is what is a major differentiator, and where teams which make use of all these three to a very good extent can be quite successful. And so using the time wisely, being quick in their moves, but also maybe a little bit strategic in their moves, and then also being quite flexible in order to adapt to changes in markets, conditions, and everything that is necessary actually to diverge from the initial concept, maybe also to a new concept that they find along the way. This is what I would advise.
Maurice, it was a great pleasure talking to you about this, I think, very exciting topic. And so did I miss something with the topic you miss, or is there something you want to add at last?
I think we covered a huge variety of topics. I think we already talked more than 30 or 40 minutes or so, even though it feels like 10 minutes and we could sit here for more hours. First of all, I'm very happy to be your guest here. Very interesting also to see what you build with German UDS, and or the concept that is pretty new to the German market, at least, and also internationally has huge potential. So I'm very curious to see where this journey will take you, and also where it takes us with all the courses, and what potentially also students that are parts of the courses will ultimately be, and maybe also where entrepreneurial endeavors from digital technologies or with digital technologies will end up. So thank you again for having me, Mike.
Yes, well, as you can be sure that we will continue this. Cool. Thank you very much.
Looking forward to. So have a great day.
Too.
Thanks.
We hope you found today's discussion insightful and inspiring as we continue to explore the frontiers of digital education. Until next time, let's keep pushing the boundaries of knowledge and innovation. Stay curious, stay connected, and we'll see you soon on From Campus to Cyber.